Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca.
Got Your Back Podcast. Good evening, everybody. Oilers lose 4-2 to Columbus. In Columbus to the Blue Jackets. 4-2, the Oilers lose. Tough night. Tough night. I had a coach one time that told me 50% of the games are up for grabs. 25, you're going to win no matter what. And 25%, you're going to lose. If that was the case, today was a game the Oilers were going to lose. They never, never were in this bad boy. Never came together for them. Never came together. The Got Your Back Podcast brought to you by Assured Buick GMC. They're the number one volume GMC dealership in all of Canada, 6 years running. Purchase a new or used vehicle. Mention the guys at Got Your Back Podcast sent you, and you'll not only receive specialized pricing, as a bonus, you'll also get 3 free ultimate detail packages on a new or used vehicles. Visit Phil and the crew in Assured Park or online at www.gmcpod.com. And I am Jason Strudwick. I've got my hands, my fingers, blueprints all over this bad boy today. Schauger is in transition. That means the Long Shot Studio is my office. And you can see I've redecorated it. Amazing golf and fantastic sports bar experience. Visit longshots.ca with a Z. And that's obviously not my office. That is at Long Shots. Rob Brown and I today, he's going to be riding alongside me, propping me up, patting me on the back, as I did last night for the great job I did to bring in Adam Henrique. Brownie, 4-2, the Oilers lose. I guess that there are just some nights where you don't have it. And, you know, before we get into it too detailed, the Oilers didn't have it tonight.
No, they didn't. They were the second best team right from the start of the game tonight. It's funny. I do a call-in show with Reed Wilkins. We had a caller and they said, you know, how could they be this bad tonight? And I said, well, I mean, 82 games are a lot of games. You don't have the same energy. You don't have the same intensity, same emotion. You just can't do it for 82 games. And the caller said, well, but they're professional. And I said, it doesn't matter. They're also human. When they play Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Florida, those games, there's extra jump. And sometimes you just have a night where you lack the emotional quotient that you need in a game. You lack the intensity. Tonight was one of those games. It was a midweek game against a lower team in the standings. They didn't bring the type of effort they needed in the first 20 minutes. They fell behind. And in the National Hockey League, I don't care what place you're in, if the opposition doesn't bring their A game, you can beat them. And tonight, the Oilers did not have their A game. The Blue Jackets were the best team all night long and fully deserved the 2 points.
And that's the podcast. Great breakdown, Brownie, for the entire thing. I just wanted you to really just say hi and just say a quick thing. We'll try to scrounge a couple other ideas.
Shoggy said, he said, help him out. He's a quiet, shy child. He said, you're a quiet, shy child.
I don't need
he help. Right now is being frisked at some border right now.
Yeah.
He texted me before they took his phone and said, help Strutty out. Sometimes he's at a loss for words.
I don't need help. I need you just to stay in line. We got Steve tonight. I hope Steve can stay on track. Great to have you. So we enjoy everyone here with us listening. This is kind of what we're going to do. We're going to talk a little bit about the game in the first segment. Then in the takeaways, we're going to talk about some other trades that happened around the NHL. The Oilers also made another trade, picking up a D-man that I've liked for quite a while. And I kind of like this pickup because he's maybe different than what we expected. So we'll get into that. In this next segment, then we'll go take a lap, take a look around some things that happen around the league. Strutty's World, this will be a fun one tonight. I've been saving this one. Oh, I've had this one up on the board for a while, Brownie.
I get to your
input with Ask Us Anything. So let's get right into it then with the breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They have a number of drop-in ready diesel engines available for purchase, installation, or conversion. They also have a couple restored trucks for sale, a 2018 Peterbilt, a 2010 International ProStar, 2015 Volvo VNL. Drop in to see these beauties at 13019 151st Street Northwest. All right, let's get into it. There are nights where you don't have your legs. And I thought tonight the Oilers, right from the get-go, they had a couple chances. You know, they kind of got things early. But it was the decisions with the puck brownies. And we saw, I'll just phrase it like this. The Oilers didn't get beat by Columbus. They beat themselves, and they did a hell of a job. When you look at the goals they were giving up, those first three goals, I believe, well, two for sure, and maybe three, were a direct result of the Oilers just kind of mismanaging the puck when they didn't need to.
You're right. You look at Fogle, and you get a new player comes into the lineup, Carrick. You're down 2-0. You try to go out and spark your team, and you get into a fight. And he fights Olivier. Is that how you say the kid's name for Columbus?
Yeah.
Olivier.
Yeah.
And that kid is tough. And that was a hell of a fight.
Great
so all fight. Of a sudden you think, okay, here's a little bit of emotion, a little bit of jump start. This is where the Oilers, they got this big fight. Next shift, this is where the Oilers change around. Fogle gives a puck away 30 seconds later in the back of the net. CeCe tries to execute a reverse in his own zone, gives away the puck. It's in the back of your net. Bouchard throws away the puck in front of his own net again. Big saves by Picker, keeps you in it. Ekholm, bad pinch, causes a 2-on-1. The crossbar saves him there. Connor McDavid, rarely do we ever talk about him, but his hands tonight on the power play weren't there. Leon Draisaitl wasn't there. So this was a game where the Oilers just created opportunities for a Columbus team. They made big mistakes, terrible puck management. This was when the Oilers were struggling at the beginning of the year, the biggest problem for was the big mistake. Yeah. And I think tonight in this hockey game, you can go through about 7 or 8 big mistakes that caused them to fall behind and eventually fell behind too far.
Yeah. And there's no doubt about it. I thought that they actually had a number of chances to score. Like Columbus isn't exactly a world beater.
No.
They had a number of chances to score. Give credit to Tarasov, who was drafted kind of around Skinner. He made some good saves. You know, got to be lucky to be good, but also good to be lucky. He made some good saves. But the Oilers, I mean, it was, you know, you're right. It showed itself in the power play. I thought, especially that first power play, they just were a little disjointed. And guys that usually are so sure-handed with the puck were making, you know, having a tough time hang on. And it happens. As you mentioned, they're human. But even in the third period, I mean, there was times where Ekholm fell down. There's nobody around.
Yeah.
Just fell down for no reason. Leon Draisaitl, a puck on a stick, falls down. And I'm not saying this to you know, make fun of them or anything like that. But it was just a night where things were happening to players you don't see. You don't see that happen with Leon Draisaitl falling for no reason. That's what you see, you know, in men's league Division 7, right? So it was just an off night. I think that everyone had an off night for them to know. I'd be really hard pressed to kind of pick out a guy that had a good game, but they beat themselves. And on a night like that, you can't beat yourself. You just have to stay with it and just hold on and just, you know, kind of outweigh the other team for something to happen, Brownie.
Well, I think you look at the Oilers had a fantastic game in Boston the other night. It was an emotional game. And
yeah, well said.
Connor and Leon really don't really show emotion a lot. But when they scored the overtime goal, there was excitement. So they understood how big that game was against the Bruins. And I just think they came into tonight's game and it was a letdown. It was Columbus, not Boston. It's the entire 4 or 5 days leading up to the trade deadline, the emotions of that. There's a lot of players that were affected by it. Holloway and Gagne lost their jobs in the NHL. Connor Brown lost his job in the lineup. So Fogle and CeCe wondering if their names are done being talked about. So I think there's a lot that led into this game. And then the Oilers star players didn't have a good night. They really didn't. I mean, the only goal they got was Leon tried making a pass that he missed the pass. It hits McDavid in the foot and goes to Hyman. I mean, that was the kind of night that they had. The one goal they got wasn't a smooth goal. So from top to bottom, to me, the only player that I thought at the end of the night can say I did a good job was Kelvin Pickard. I thought the final 40 minutes, he had to know that if he let a goal in, they had no chance. And for him to bounce back after a tough first period, I think that goes a long way for his confidence and the confidence of the team in him. Because down 3-0, I'm like, okay, are they going to keep him in the whole night? Not that it's on him, but sometimes it sparks a change. But he came back and battled in the final 40 minutes, gave them a shot. So to me, as you said, who had a good night? To me, Calvin Pickard would be the only player that I can think of that you can say, you know what? I liked his game.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. And it was just, And I get it. I'm sure on the stream we're seeing a lot of comments about that, you know, they're professionals. Yeah, show up every night. But that huge win in Boston, I do think that getting new players on your team, it's not unsettling, but it just throws a different dynamic into the group. And maybe let yourself down a little bit, or maybe just not bring that same energy you need to. And it was clear tonight they just didn't have it. And so I think this is one where you just say, guys, we know we're better. You walk in the dressing room after, we know we got a better game. We get to play Buffalo in, you know, whatever, 2 days or less than a day and a half. Let's just start thinking about that one. Leave this one behind as we get into the plane in Columbus and fly to Buffalo. Better effort on just a better game on Saturday.
Yes.
Because it was, I don't think the execution was there. I didn't think the effort was terrible. It wasn't great. But just like I said, the guy's falling. Like seeing Ekholm fall at the blue line was like that. You don't see that happen to that guy.
No, he doesn't make mistakes. Well, it's funny. And the caller that we had on our show earlier, same thing, said, well, they're professionals. If I go to work and I'm not professional, I lose my job. And Reed Wilkins made a good point. When the Blackhawks won 3 Stanley Cups in 5 or 6 years, they came in and got embarrassed twice in Edmonton. Edmonton was terrible. Edmonton beat them 9-2 and 8-1 or something like that. Good teams, championship teams have off nights where they just, the emotion isn't there because when the Blackhawks then used to come play against the Oilers, it's the Oilers. They just couldn't emotionally get up for that game. And tonight the Oilers didn't emotionally get up for a game against Columbus and Columbus took advantage of it.
All right. So they had two new players in the lineup. They had Sam Carrick and Adam Henrique. Bit of a weird night to evaluate their play. You know, I think that if you were at home and if you didn't watch the game, Henrique started on the line with Draisaitl and Kane. Now, Henrique was on the left side. Then Carrick started at center with Janmark and Derek Ryan. Now, those lines lasted a period, Brownie, and then the blender was on. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to tell. You know, I love the moment for Sam Carrick. I love that he fought.
Yeah.
I think that was a good moment. I think that endears you to your teammates, and it was a good fight. That Olivier is a tough guy. But tonight is a really hard night to evaluate new players because the team played way below the expectations that they have for themselves and everyone outside would have.
Well, it's funny. I think what Knobloch was trying to do tonight is, okay, Adam, I know you weren't here long, so I'm going to introduce you to every player on the team. So you're going to play with each guy at some point during the night. Because every time Hendrick came out, he's like, okay, he's got new line mates.
He did.
If I was to evaluate them, Carrick gets an A+. He understood a role. He's only played 7 minutes tonight, and he's a fourth line centerman for the Edmonton Oilers. They don't play much. You get 7 to 10 minutes, and 10 minutes is like, that's rare. It's a unicorn night for a fourth liner here. But he went out there and he fought a very tough guy, a very tough guy. So to me, he gets an A for that. Henrique, I don't remember much about his game, but that was probably good because I can remember a lot about a lot of guys' games tonight and they weren't good moments. So Henrique, I don't remember him being in a position where he made a poor read or a poor decision with the puck. He's a guy that he got the puck off the glass a couple times. He got the puck through the middle. He got the puck in deep. Both players did not see what the Oilers team is about. This was a really off night for them. But I think that they both are going to make this team a better hockey club. You just didn't get to see it tonight because you didn't get to see the good Edmonton Oilers tonight. So we'll see more as this road trip goes on. The Oilers didn't get Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick for a game against Columbus at the beginning of March. These guys are here for the long haul come April, May, June. So they're just going to try to get acclimated to their teammates, get to know them, get to know the systems, and they will get better each game.
Quick comment on the lines. And let's assume that they start these lines again when they had the big line, Nuge with McDavid and Hyman, then Henrique with Draisaitl and Kane on the right. What I liked about it, Henrique, like I've said before, I think he's like a Nugent Hopkins light, right? He's like that. He's very smart defensively. He can make plays on the wall, and he actually reminds me a lot of Nuge, the way that he plays. So I think I understand why the gut feeling for Knobloch was to start him on that line because he brings a presence and maybe some of the skills and soft skills that are required to play with Leon and Kane. Kane is a little bit more off, you know, a little bit more looking towards the end, other end of the ice. Same with Leon. So I kind of like that mixer. So I'd like to see them start that line again, give them a chance against Buffalo, which should be, you know, a better game than they saw today.
Well, and another thing is what we've seen in the last little while with Kane and Leon, there hasn't been a lot of chemistry on the ice. That's one of the reasons that Leon was put up with McDavid, because they weren't getting much out of a second line. So now you're going to say, okay, we're going to put Kane and Leon together again. This should work. And let's give him Henrique too. This kid is, as you said, he's like a Nuge. Nuge makes everyone around him better because he just does everything right. And I think that's what you see with Henrique. He's smooth. When he's on the ice, he skates smooth. He makes nice passes. Doesn't put himself in the wrong position defensively. So the only way, though, that's going to work is if they get quality play out of McLeod as your third line center. If they can get a positive shift after shift out of their third line, well, now we can load up the top two. But if all of a sudden they start leaking chances, then you're like, okay, we need to get Henrique back down on the third lines to give them some stability. But yeah, I do see why they tried. And another reason too, whenever you bring in a new player, you want him to have success early. Best way to have success, put him with your best players. Leon's one of the best players.
No doubt about it. Let's get to the Weiss Johnson Soundbox, brought to you by Weiss Johnson, Edmonton's first choice for all your heating, air conditioning, and plumbing needs. Their certified technicians are available 24/7 year-round to ensure that you can get help whenever that may be. Their team is committed to total customer satisfaction, no matter what time of day it is. Visit WeissJohnson.com. I missed it one time, and no one trusts me now. Let's get to head coach Chris Knobloch on the lines and how they started and then changed.
We wanted what we started with. That's where the goal was, that was going to work out. And then we also looked at, we won our last five games in a row, and Leon, Connor, Hyman, the line has been together through that five-game stretch, and we put them together, and then they went, and we felt that things hadn't gone well. We needed to correct things and give us a little momentum, and that's the way in we changed. It looked good. They score early in the second period, but, I don't think we just didn't play enough. Well enough time.
Yeah, I think that he nailed it. I think that it's very hard to evaluate a group when they just didn't have it. They just didn't have it. And I don't think you can really beat up on anyone too much. Now, let's go back to the Weiss Johnson Soundbox and have Adam Henrique and his thoughts on joining the new squad.
I try to just kind of go with the mindset. I mean, it's just hockey, right? You're just going out and play, and it's little changes, but the guys did a good job just talking to me on whatever line was going and trying to be same page and just try to just try to go out there and play. Had a couple opportunities, a bad penalty on my part to take at the time, but overall felt pretty good.
And I think it's fair, but again, evaluating someone on their first game, they traveled, new team, new everything, new underwear, like the whole thing, new trainers, new teammates, like it's a lot to take on. I will say this about Carrick. The moments he played, he was noticeable. Also, obviously the fight is a pretty big deal, but he almost tipped one in after that face-off win and help. So a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger guy. And that line with he and Ryan and Janmark, I want to see them play a little bit more. I think that 7 minutes, it's got to become 9, Brownie, 10. Hard to do, though, I understand.
I agree, but it doesn't happen. It's like John Shannon has said many times, Connor and Leon are like your drug, and you just, once you've had it, you just want it more and more. And when you're on the bench, you're like, okay, well, they look fresh again. I know they just were out there for 9 minutes, but I can get another shift out of them. It's just hard, and that's the problem that we've seen in the past with the Oilers is they fall in love with that group and they keep putting them out there. And all of a sudden you've got a plan. Okay. We're going to get our fourth line 10 minutes tonight. They get their shift. Well, now the timeout comes at the right time that I can actually double shift Connor and Leon. And then, okay, here comes the fourth line's time up again. Oh, it's a penalty. We got a power play now. So we got to put the power play unit out.
You get killed.
And then the next shift, well, now all of a sudden the third line hasn't played in a long time because of the power play. So I got a third line. And I've been there, and I'm sure you have as the third pairing defenseman. I've been on the fourth line where you're up and you're all excited, and all of a sudden a penalty comes and you're like, okay, that's 2 minutes for the power play. And they always go with the third line after the power play. And then it's your time to come up, and then you take a penalty. So now it's you've sat for 9-10 minutes. And now the coach is like, well, I can't put him out. There's only 5 minutes to go in the period. I don't want to put him out there all tired or all sitting and rusty. So we'll wait till the next period. And that's what happens with the fourth line. And then you just all of a sudden look at the end of the game. Oh, I only got them 6.5 minutes out there. But it's you as a player, you got to be noticed. And I do believe Carrick was noticed in the 7 minutes he played. And good on him for showing up tonight in a tough situation.
Find a tough guy. Okay, I think we can agree that this game is one that you're going to not break down too hard. I think we kind of got it. It's pretty clear what happened. But there is a lot to look forward to about what is coming next. Perhaps evaluate the trade that happened today for the Oilers and then some other trades around the league. So let's just get to our relentless player here, brought to you by UCAN Youth Services, helping at-risk youth find employment. This Edmonton local charity is hosting their upcoming comedy night fundraiser with 6 shows in March. There are only a few packs of 4 tickets left on certain nights, so don't miss out on a night of fun while supporting a great cause. Grab yours at UCAN.ca, and as a Got Your Back listener, you'll get 4 tickets for the price of 2. Get them while they last. Brownie, do you want to take the honors since I'm in the hot seat here? Which
I get to pick the you...
Well, ooh. Yes, I want to. You've started out well, definitely 5 out of 10. So where do you go? Who is your relentless player?
Well, in a game where your team's not very good, and they were not, anybody that stands up and fights for a teammate, to me, is a relentless player. I mean, Sam Carrick kicked out of the faceoff dot. He sees Olivier? Is that how you say the kid's name? Olivier sees him knock Janmark, give him a little push from behind, and he walks over them or skates. My favorite part is the linesman standing there, and Sam Carrick drops his stick and is about to drop his gloves. And the lines are like, you can't fight yet. We got to drop the puck first. So anyone that is that eager to fight for his brand new teammates, to me, is the relentless player of the night.
Nailed it. I nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. I would have gone with the same one. Okay, so let's do this. Let's just take a quick pause. When we come back, we're going to get into takeaways. We're going to talk about some of the trades that happened today, including one for the Oilers that, as I said earlier, it is not the type of D you thought they would get, or many people thought they got, but I think it might be the right fit, Brownie. So let's step out here. I think Shogar might join us as well, as he's on his journey of self-discovery through the United States. Quick break here when we come back. Takeaways.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Let's get to takeaways now, brought to you by Martin Motorsports. More snow is falling and adventure calls. Your next epic ride is waiting at Martin Motorsports. Stop in to check out their lineup of new 2023 and 2024 Ski-Doos on their showroom floor, waiting to be sent out the door, and you can be straight on your way to the mountains. Visit them at either their 2 Edmonton locations or online at martinmotorsports.ca. All right, guys, let's get into it. Trade deadline days, it feels like. Tomorrow's the official day, Friday around 1 o'clock Edmonton time. But there's been a number of trades, and we now welcome in Ryan Rashog as he joins us from his trip across the United States. I think he's trying to get to Wally World. So, Shogar, who did the Oilers trade for today, and what is it all about? Welcome to the show.
Well, yeah, thanks, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate that. Who did they trade for today? Well, they traded for a defenseman called Troy Stetcher, whose name I misspelled on Twitter, by the way. So I took a bit of a beating on that one. That was, I don't know if it was a spell check or what the heck was going on there. A little depth defenseman, bud. You know a thing or two about the depth D-men. I think that's right up your alley. So, yeah, a number seven, right? A right shot number seven guy, it seems.
Yeah, not what we expected, though. I think that many of us, you know, including myself, you know, talking bigger, heavier player, Joel Edmondson, Brown out of Arizona, maybe Savard out of Montreal, like Zach Bogosian until he signed an extension with Minnesota. But instead, they go kind of small puck mover. And I like Skecher. I've liked him. I remember when he was in Vancouver. I liked the way he moved and skated.
Yeah.
The guy's played almost, I think he's around 500 NHL games. You know, not a big guy. Like, I want to say 5'10", a little light. But not at all what I expected, Brownie. It is a much different feel to that to him as a seven, rather than that a big, heavy, you know, cycle stopping defenseman that I think most people thought they were going to go for.
Well, 100%. It was funny. My son in Vancouver, apparently the theater world found out the trade before the hockey world, because my son sends me, say, hey, we're getting Troy Stetcher. I'm like, I had to Google to see where he was playing. Honestly did. I'm like, I remember him from Vancouver. I really liked him in Vancouver. He was skilled. He could skate. And I do remember some feistiness in him. I remember him taking runs at Connor and Leon. He wasn't backing down. I'm like, I give the kid credit. He's just a little guy. But I don't think he played the times against the Oilers this year, because I don't remember him in Arizona. But what he does have is what I really thought that they needed was experience and someone that's played playoffs before, because he's only going to play if there's an injury or something goes seriously wrong. And all of a sudden it might be game five of series two where they put him in, say, okay, you're playing against LA tonight or Vegas tonight, be good. You can't be overwhelmed by the moment. So I think they needed somebody with some experience that they could put in. Yes, I agree. I thought they would get a 6'3", 210-pound nasty type defenseman, but they went with this, and I think they probably looked around. This was the best of what they could get with what they had. And he will. Now here's a question for you, Struds, with him. And I think they should. Will he play at some point? Because right now they've run the same six, but they've got him here. If the Oilers don't run into injury problems from now till the end of the year, do you have to get him in at some point instead of letting him sit for the next 2 months or whatever it is until they actually really need him?
Yeah, good. And I think he's got to play. He cannot sit for whatever it is, 6-7 weeks before the playoffs. So the question is, you take someone out who's maybe nursing an injury, and not that I know that anyone is, or do you dress seven? And you know, it's tricky because you want to keep your chemistry going, keep the guys feeling good. But this, and it can't just be one game. He can't play one of the next 20. You know, he's got to play in some games, get the feeling, understand the team and all that stuff so he feels comfortable. So I think it's, in my opinion, Shogger, it's more than likely we'll see a few games with seven. I really think then a couple guys are going to get nicked up. He'll get in there. But I think we'll see a few games with seven defensemen before the end of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's playing 18 and a half minutes a night in the NHL this season, right? Like, it's not like he's been a base layer guy there that barely gets out on the ice. So yeah, I think when you make a trade like this and you bring in a player like this, and the idea is that you might have a use for him if you run into injury trouble, last thing you can do is let him build up a bunch of mold and dust and have him be, you know, basically useless for if you actually need them when it matters. So I think to a certain degree, they're going to have to commit to, and this coach does not like playing seven defensemen. He does not like that. So I think you're going to have to commit to the idea that, look, Vinny, like it's or CC, you're going to be the odd night and we'll call it a rest night, right? There's nothing wrong with resting good players down the stretch if you have other good players that are ready to come in, if you're comfortably in a playoff position. So, yeah, I think you do need to commit to getting him into the lineup, making him feel like he's part of it. You can't just have him floating around out there and then expect anything from him when it matters. So, yeah, and we have not seen that this year. It's been an insane combination of their blue line staying healthy and not really having much of a better option. It's crazy. how consistent this blue line has been personnel-wise. That's not normal.
No, for sure. It's been absolutely nuts. Now, the million-dollar question I know is blowing up on the stream. Are the Oilers done, Sagar? I know you are pressed right up against this. Where are they at?
Yeah, no, I believe they're done. And people aren't going to like it. But listen, I'll give you a little bit of inside ball here. I mean, part of the reason why I'm not doing the podcast tonight is because we had to change our plans and get to Buffalo in time for tomorrow morning. I have to be wherever the general manager is on trade deadline day, right? We got a full day of live programming, so I have to be where the GM is. And the original plan was for Ken Holland to stay in Columbus overnight, do trade deadline at the Columbus Hotel tomorrow with his staff there, and then once trade deadline was done, they were going to drive to Buffalo, right? That was the plan. Well, when they executed that third deal today, the plan changed. And Ken Holland is now flying into Buffalo tonight with the team, and it's their plans have changed. So I don't believe that the entire pro staff is all going to be gathered in the same way that they normally would have been. I think there are things for him to follow up on. I think that there are, you know, phone calls he's going to make. He said that tonight. We asked him if he was done. He said we'll see tomorrow. I know Oilers fans aren't going to like this, guys, but I think the plans changed because this team is done. I think he did an availability tonight after that trade because the team's done. And this is what it is. Now, there's always the possibility that something changes, gets a phone call he didn't expect, a contract negotiation somewhere falls through and someone's available. But I'm saying I'm pretty sure this thing's done.
So, Brownie, is it enough or have they plugged the holes that you expected?
Well, I mean, time will tell if it's enough. The Western Conference, Vegas got better with Hanifin and Mantha. The Colorado Avalanche, I think did a wonderful job. I think they are the biggest winner thus far in trade deadline day. Dallas went and got Tanev. Zadorov and Lindholm both have gone to Vancouver. So the Western Conference teams have all gotten better. I'm shocked that LA hasn't done anything yet. I expect they'll do something because I do believe they have a good team, but they do have a couple of issues as well. Did they do enough? The one question mark that we still have today that we had a week ago, that we had a month ago, that we had 2 months ago, who's going to play right wing with Leon Draisaitl? We still don't know. Today it was Henrik and Kane, but that changed in the second period and Leon was back with Connor. So
let me ask you this. Do you think the biggest question is who's going to play right wing on this team on the second line? Or do you think the biggest question is this a Stanley Cup winning blue line? I think that's the biggest question left on this team. If I were an Oilers fan, I would have more questions about, can you picture this blue line winning a Stanley Cup, than I would worrying about who's going to be on the second line. And I asked Ken Holland that question tonight, and he said he pointed to the stats. And the analytics are good, and he's watching them during the regular season here, guys. And it seems like they put up some pretty impressive numbers. But to me, that's something that's pretty legit hanging out there.
Well, and you go a step further, Shoggy. I think the Oilers' defense is good enough as long as they stay healthy. If Darnell Nurse mm-hmm. gets hurt and all of a sudden you punch in Troy Stetcher, is that good enough? If Ekholm gets hurt and all of a sudden you're going with Broberg, that's where I think that, like, you look at Vegas, they've got 8 NHL defensemen that they can put in there. Like, Martinez is out right now. He's not even in their top 6. There's teams around Dallas, their defense, they got more depth. I think that's the biggest thing for me with the Oilers. That's why I was expecting, as Strud said, an Edmondson or someone who's been a big, strong, physical guy that you wouldn't miss anything, or you wouldn't miss as much if you have an injury. If the Oilers stay healthy throughout the playoffs, I do believe their team is good enough. But if the Oilers run into injuries, I don't know if the Oilers run into injuries, if their depth, if they run into injuries to some of their top players, I don't know if their depth is as good as other teams in the Western Conference.
I'll double down on my comments from yesterday, that the Oilers' defense is going to have to act like it did when Carolina beat the Oilers. They're going to have to do a group effort and just kind of keep the puck moving, and a kind of a specialist in different ways. That's how it is. Cause it, when you look at, you know, Colorado's D, Vegas D, Dallas D, I don't know if maybe LA, not quite there, but you know, Vancouver's, you know, they got Quinn Hughes and was it Roenick? They're good, but it's not very like, good. It's not like it's crazy, you know? So I think that the Oilers are close, but their D core as a group is below them. But I think their forwards are pretty good as well. Now, for Colorado, you're banking on a couple of players coming back. Landeskog and Nikushkin.
Those two
they have to come back. You know, Vancouver, they got to, you know, they're working their way through their first kind of strong season. So it's going to be interesting. I think that it's up for grabs. But they're not an elite D, Shogar, to answer your question. But I think they can get it done and with support from a deep forward group.
For sure. It's a tough night to, like, if you're an Oiler fan and you're on this, listening to this podcast right now, you're having two conversations tonight. You're having a conversation about, is this team good enough to win a Stanley Cup? On the same night, you're having a conversation about, oh my goodness, was that horse shit? So it's a little bit of a tough headspace to be in, to be evaluating a team's chances to, you know, run the distance here and run the gamut. And I think it's important. And I know that fans know this, but I think it's important to also kind of say, look, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL for a number of months here. Their defensive metrics are very, very strong. Their offensive metrics are through the roof. And so we question second line right winger. They don't have a problem scoring goals. This team has no problem scoring goals, right? So I think we need to frame it in the big picture of how they've competed in the league this year and what the statistical story is, but also, Struds, we know what it's supposed to look like in a Stanley Cup final. And it's fair to say this very good regular season performing team, which they were at the end of last year too, remember how much it changed in the playoffs when it tightened up and got tougher? Where did that D go? Where did that regular season performance go? And I think it's fair for Oilers fan to be feeling that stress as well.
Yes, I'll say this. I think that it was a shorter window of time where they were good defensively last year, right? Was it, what should we say, 20, 30 games somewhere in there? Is that fair or is it more than that?
It was the last 20, I think. Yeah,
it wasn't 20 a ton games. Of games. That's kind of like Brownie being on a diet for 2 weeks. Then he goes over to his buddy Bertha's and she has
Bubba. I go to Bubba's house or Clarky's house.
And they have a charcuterie board out there, some nachos, Brownie.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the willpower. Now you back it up to 6 months where Brownie's on a diet and he's feeling good about himself. He then has the will and the strength, internal strength and discipline, quite frankly, to not indulge in those things. So I think that the Oilers, I think the playoffs last year with Vegas, the way that unraveled, I think the way that the way it came out, the way the season started this year, I think this team is more committed to team defense than they were at that time last year. So I do think that has a big impact on this team heading forward and into the playoffs, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. And I agree with all those things. And I do believe that this Oilers team is good enough to win a Stanley Cup. But I worry about depth if injuries hit. And I worry about injuries because this team has been so flipping healthy. It's silly and scary how healthy they've been. And I don't know if they have if they're strong enough to overcome. You look at all the teams in the NHL right now, what they've had to overcome. Colorado's had two guys in player assistance. They've had a number of injuries, good players being injured. Vegas has had top players out all season. LA's had top players. The Oilers have been their own team the whole year. These other teams have got to see what their depth players are capable of doing. So they had a good idea Colorado knew what their depth players could do. So on the deadline, they went and got better depth players. The Oilers don't know what their depth players can do because they haven't had to use any. So I think that's the one thing that would concern me just a bit going into the playoffs.
Strudge, I want to pull just a quick comment here. I've got the live stream up here too. Noah Rinsky made a really good point here. He said, why doesn't anyone make the point that all the other teams in the West had to make their moves to catch up to the Oilers? So there's this idea that they're all starting from the same point before the deadline and who made more moves? Well, that team made more moves. They're ahead now. But I think that's a mature thought. The other teams are looking at the Oilers going, how are we going to make sure we're good enough to beat them and playing catch up to a degree with what the Oilers can present from us? Just look at the statistics, their expected goals, their the amount that this team has the power to produce, that other teams feel they need to keep up with them a little bit. And for Ken Holland, I know a big part of this, you guys, a big part of this was understanding that too many moves can really upset the chemistry. And if the one thing you guys notice here, if they are done, there were no major subtractions. And that is by design, because they didn't want to mess with something. And I think they got that messaging from inside their room. They didn't want to mess with something. So could there have been bigger additions? Maybe, but it absolutely would have meant subtractions. And I think they were sensitive to that.
Shauger, I know that you're still on a journey. Any final thoughts before we cut you loose here on the pot?
No, I'm looking forward to Strutty's World, though. You've been talking about having this amazing Strutty's World in your hip pocket. I almost want to stick around for it. Like, Steve, can we do Strutty's World next so I can stay?
Yeah. Is that, please let Shauger stay, because I want to be able to laugh at Strutty with someone. Okay. I hate laughing at him by myself. So, Shauger, could you stay and laugh with me?
Okay. All right. If Steve can do
I know you're trying to get rid of me as fast as possible, Strutty, because, you know, this is your show tonight, but...
We're losing you. Sorry, we lost him. We lost him. Let's pause, guys. Yeah. When we come back, a great Strutty World I've had in my back pocket for months. That's next.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Brown's podcast. I'm here tonight with a couple of my friends, Strutty and Shauger. I appreciate them joining me tonight. Time now for my absolute favorite segment of the podcast. This is Strutty's World. It's brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products with locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. Beautiful maintenance-free vinyl fencing products that will last not just for months, not just for years. I'm talking decades. This stuff lasts forever. See why they've been going strong since 2005 exclamation mark. It's reliable. It's unmatched service with high-quality North American-made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Strutty, what do you have for us today?
Wow. Thank you, Ronnie. Bravo, Brownie. He did that by memory.
First Very time good. Ever. Yep.
Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. All right. I love tomato soup. You know what? I've always loved tomato soup. God. And normally I order it at restaurants, but recently, like the last year or two, I've been having it at home.
What are we doing?
I go and buy it in the can. I like Campbell's, but I'm not a snob. And anyway, so I poured into the bowl and I heat it up and eat it. And I always thought it was pretty thick. And then recently I had a discussion with a friend of mine, my mom actually, and I was telling her about how much I like tomato soup. And it turns out you don't drink it right out of the can. You actually have to add 2 cups of water for the can. So all this time I've been eating the thickest, most concentrated tomato soup. And this is not, and I didn't realize, guys, it actually goes with other soup. I had a vegetable soup that's the same way. I always thought, man, is this ever heavy? It was more like a stew. So I don't know if I'm the only person that didn't know this. I guess I should have looked at the side of the can. But guys, if you can eat tomato soup, because I'd put 3 small cans in a thing and I'd eat it, and it was just so concentrated. It was like a tomato soup smoothie. So now I'm getting more bang for my buck out of my tomato soups.
Now you don't need three cans of it because one can should be enough for you. Okay, first of all, tomato soup is gross. Second of all, tomato soup without the water is grosser. And third of all, you're 50 years old. How do you not know? Like, seriously, you've got a wife and kids. They would know how to make soup. Or do they just let you do it just to make fun of you? He's doing it again. Look, there's daddy.
I have soup. I like to have soup for lunch. Like, I usually have a cereal guy for breakfast. Then I have a soup or sandwich. Never both. I'm not a soup and sandwich guy. Then I have a sensible dinner. So when I have the soup, usually no one's around. And then I tell my mom about it, and it was the thickest. If you've ever had tomato soup, it is like a paste. It is really heavy, Shaggy.
Oh, Shreddy. I mean, the stuff coming in on the stream, like Chaos Never Died says, this is a 10-year-old making himself lunch.
No, the 10-year-old would have been smarter.
Yeah, even a 10-year-old, I would argue, would probably know. What an animal. J-Dub says, the instructions tell you. Growler Media Group, so that's Zuby. Zuby's on the stream tonight. Says somebody check Shreddy's sodium level. That is like a year's worth of sodium in one sitting.
Three cans of tomato soup, buddy.
Shona is a patron saint. She is a patron saint for guiding you through this life and helping you through, because left to your own devices, I can't even comprehend the mayhem that would ensue.
You know why you have sense? You said you have sensible dinners. It's because your wife makes them, because she sees how you make your lunch. She's like, okay, I got to offset what he had for lunch. God.
She doesn't see it because she's not here. Like, usually I'll go coach in the morning and I come home and I have 40 cans of soup
that last you 7 days. She knows you're doing something wrong.
She probably thought I really love soup. Okay.
So you started the segment off by saying I love tomato soup, right? That's the first thing you said?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Have you never ordered tomato soup in a restaurant where they actually do it properly? And do you feel like in every restaurant, it's like the most watered down, shitty tomato soup ever? And you're like, I like my homemade tomato soup way better than this.
Guys, I've actually brought the chef out and talked to him about how watery their tomato soup is.
It's almost as though you've put water or milk in my tomato soup, sir. What have you done? I will not pay for this.
And what I actually like to do, and this is, I'll leave you with this. I like the saltine crackers, the brown ones, not the white ones. I'll eat the white ones too, Abner, but I like the brown ones. And I'd have this tomato soup that was like paste, and I'd break crackers into it and drop it in. You know how dry this gets? It would take me like an hour to eat this thing. It's so heavy. It was so dry.
I think you actually, 2 Mondays ago, we were on in the afternoon. I think you had tomato soup for lunch today because you were really slow out there on the ice in the afternoon session. Yeah, you were. You just had 6 cans of tomato paste for lunch.
After lunch, I hook up James, an IV bag.
James Barrell says the soup that eats like a meal, tomato.
You know what? Buddy. If you think we're laughing with you right now, we are not. We are laughing at you.
No,
we're laughing at
this
you.
This is ridicule, Shreddy. What you're experiencing right now is—it's not camaraderie. It's ridicule. Just to be clear.
My mom had the same reaction. So.
Right now, she's embarrassed. Right now, she goes, "I can't believe I raised this boy."
I know.
Oh my God.
There are a lot of meals. So, all right. So there you go. There's my soup story. That was Shreddy's World. So let's duck out. Shug, are you done now? Are you going to bed?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, okay. No, I'm done. I gotta get to bed here. So, gentlemen, don't break it. Land the plane.
We got it. Don't worry. It's been going great. We'll keep it going. Don't worry.
I got a parachute on just in case.
All right, let's say goodnight to Shogger, everybody. When we come back, take a lap. We'll get you caught up with a few other trades in the league.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Time to take a lap. Brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. Just got even better. Backscape 2.0. Engineered for back shaving, the new friction fit handle allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Go to backscape.com, then use promo code GYB10 for 10% off your first order on any of the kits on their website. That's backscape.com. Stay smooth, gentlemen. And I just nailed that. Absolutely nailed it. All right. Let's get to a couple, quite a few big trades, but let's get to the big one, which was the Jake Guentzel trade. Traded from Pittsburgh. Sid is finally getting some help or not. So to the Canes is Jake Guentzel at 25% retains and Ty Smith, a kind of a youngish defenseman. To the Pens, they get a ton. They get Michael Bunting, Cruz Lucius. He was a former, I think, fourth rounder, like 21, 22. Vasily Ponomarev. He was a former, I think, second rounder, around same thing, 20, somewhere in there. Ville Koivunen, again, a second rounder. A conditional second rounder could become a first if the Carolina makes it to the Stanley Cup final, then conditional fifth and fourth. So, tons of quantity here. The quality, you know, is TBD, to be fair. But that's a big trade. Let's first talk about the ad for the Canes, Brownie. I think they finally get the shooter they've been wanting and maybe hoping to have in Max Pacioretty last year.
Well, it's funny. I give you credit. I mean, they didn't trade just a Smith, a Brown, and a Jones, did they?
They made it hard. That was a tough one.
That was really good. You said it best. Is the Canes are a team that in the last number of playoffs, they've had a lot of 2-1 games. Like, they are a good defensive team and they stay in every game, but they didn't have that goal scorer, the guy that could break it open with one shot. They thought they would have it with Pacioretty. He gets hurt, misses the whole year, and didn't work out for them. But now they are getting a true goal scorer. And the Canes are a good hockey club. They're a very good hockey club. I think they're in win now. They went and got Guentzel. He can score. I hope they have success. I'm a fan of the Carolina Hurricanes, and I hope Guentzel goes there and plays well. As for what Pittsburgh's getting, right now they need help in just about everything. They got absolutely smoked tonight, I think 6-0 by the Capitals. So this is a Pens team that is done for the year and a Carolina team that's loading up for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually, to see what they did. I think this is the player they need. They need a guy that can score. He's been there. He's helped them, as you mentioned. So I like this pick. Now, for the other side, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
What were the players' names again?
Well, I can run through them again. So Michael Bunting, Kyle Dubas, obviously very familiar with the player, had him in Toronto. And, I he's a guy that can help you now. Then the other three are what I'd call prospects.
Okay, right? Well, who are they again?
Well, they're tough. Cruz Lucius, Vasily Ponomarev, and then Ville Koivunen. And I think I actually got them right, which is kind of crazy. So these young guys in a conditional first, again, in a conditional fifth, fourth, whatever.
This doesn't make Pittsburgh better. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are in trouble right now.
Well, if those three guys hit, if one or two or three of them hit, it helps. We know what Bunting is already.
Bunting,
so you're just kind of sliding, and then the first rounder, they added a lot of prospects to their pool. Now, how many hit? TBD, but that was a big trade. So that guy's off the board. The next trade we can go with.
Let's go to Colorado. To me, Colorado is a team that they had they made the one player hockey trade where they traded a very, very good player in Bowen Byram and got back a very good player in Casey Mittelstadt. I think Byram in, as you we talked about the other night, he's redundant in Columbus, or sorry, in Colorado. He's never going to play on your first power play unit. They got Cale Makar, the best defenseman in the world right now. They've got Taves there. They got Girard.
Yeah, so those were yesterday, though. So the trades today, they got Jakob Trenin, if you're not sure. And so Trenin and Stewart Sword went from Nashville to Colorado, then Jeremy Hansel and a third-round pick in 2025. But Trenin is a big body, and then you add him alongside Duhaime, who also was with Minnesota. So they got two big, heavy bodies in that lineup. They're expecting, I'm thinking, Nakushkin to come back at some point, then maybe Landeskog when the playoffs start. So let's say all four guys are healthy. I'm just going to use whatever, the first round of the playoffs. That's four big, hard-nosed, playing hockey players. And he put Casey Mittelstadt in there. It's like five new players they're getting that essentially haven't either been with the organization or in their lineup all year.
And you have arguably the best or second best line in the world. I mean, now, Nathan MacKinnon, to me, is your MVP on the season. He's having an unbelievable year. You got the best defenseman in the world in Cale Makar. We talked a little bit earlier when Shoggy was on the line that the Oilers don't know what they have with depth because they haven't had to use depth this year. They haven't had any injuries. Colorado's had a lot of injuries. They've had to use a lot of depth, and their depth wasn't good. So they went out and found different depth at the deadline. To me, the Colorado Avalanche did a very good job on trade deadline day. They picked up a lot of players that can fill holes that they had in their lineup. It's a win now for them. They got MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar playing as well as they are. They want to win right now.
Yeah, I watched them play last night. It was 3-2 halfway through the game. Ended up, I think, 7-2. Makar had a hat trick. They're a good team.
Yes,
and
very good.
Your favorite goalie, Alex Lyon, was in net for Detroit and got yanked. So you're welcome.
That's why we talk so much about Lyon the night that he stood on his head against the Oilers. He doesn't have many of those nights.
All right, let's take a quick pause here. When we come back, we're going to give away a hat and we'll get to your questions and ask us anything.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
All right, let's give away some hats. Time for our Kinprint giveaway, brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. Aiming to help you play better golf with golf fitting, instruction, after sales, support, and golf merchandise and clothing. Celebrating 25 years, check out their pro shop style atmosphere located at 5311 99th Street in Edmonton. I just drove by there today. It's a great spot. So what you got to do is you gotta head over to the website, gypod.com, and click GYB merch to enter to win. We go with a question, I believe, is what we do. So the question is this. Which junior team did Adam Henrique play for? Name the junior team that Adam Henrique, one of the newest additions for Oilers, played with or played for in junior. He was there, I believe, for four seasons. So Adam Henrique, the newest Oilers, where did he play for? And obviously, Kinprint is the reason that our good buddy Brownie is here, which is fantastic. You wear your hat a lot, Brownie. I got one too. I wear it a lot, although I like to show my hair off on this podcast because I feel of the three of us, I probably have the best do.
Of the three of us, yes, you have the best do. Although it's a very, very low bar, so don't be too excited.
That's
about
fair. That's
fair. I wear my hat a lot. I like it. It's really, really nice. It's good. A lot of people ask me what jib means. I'm not quite sure, but jib.
Jib, just like that. And I just got a text reminder. You have to go and pick the hat up at DeBoer's. That's where you want to go and check it out over there. So go pick the hat up at DeBoer's. You'll get there. But again, send the email to on the screen, gybpod.com. Where did Adam Henrique play junior hockey? Now it's your turn to shine. We've got to bring Steve in here as we get into the Ask Us Anything, brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Bouclain of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Whether you're buying or selling a home, your success hinges upon the expert advice and services provided by a real estate agent. Rini is committed to providing clients with professional services based on experience, knowledge, and skills, and a sick name. Call Rini for no obligation quote at 780-994-0280. That is our friend, the Shark in the Park. Your turn to shine, Steve. What do you got for us, you old dog?
All right. First of all, a lot of comments on how you should be substituting water for milk, or you could substitute water for milk when you're making your tomato soup. Makes it a little creamier and delicious, according to the screen, the stream. So, yeah, there you go. Okay. Stilty says, Nurse needs some more love. That guy's been playing great, and his two options as a partner are CeCe and Vinny. No disrespect to the other guy, but he really needs a better partner. Just thoughts on Nurse's play recently.
Well, from my perspective, one of the reasons they broke up, Nurse and CeCe, is because they weren't happy with the way they had been playing up until they split them up. I thought Nurse, like everyone tonight, I don't know, was... But I mean, Nurse is a big part of this team. They need Nurse at his best, and with Nurse at his best, he's a very good defenseman. I think right now their thought is that Desharnais is going to be his partner for the playoff struts, unless something drastically changes between now and then. This is a trial run for Darnell Nurse and Vinny Desharnais to see if they can be a shutdown pairing.
Yeah. Yeah. It does feel like that. This is more than just a one gamer right now. Mm-hmm. So I've been saying this. I believe they need to find a puck moving defenseman to play with Darnell, just so that both pairings have a lot of puck movers. Like, just again, compared to Colorado, both top pairings have puck movers. Both pairings, the top pairings in Vegas, have multiple puck movers. Dallas, same thing. You need to have that. So they don't have it, so then you make do with what you have, but I think this is the way it's set up. And by the way, Darnold made a great play, saved a goal, I believe, is towards the end of the second period. A nice stick check. Steve?
Okay, Austin Peterson says, guys, we've won like once against Columbus in the last 4 years. Yeah, the game management wasn't good tonight, but if it continues, then worry. If not, just flush it and move on. But that leads to another question, which for you guys, did you have teams you played against, rinks you played at, that just sort of felt cursed? And did that influence your game at all?
I'll go first, Raj, because you're the host. Philadelphia, when I first got traded or drafted by Pittsburgh and made the team, they didn't care if the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. They just wanted to win a game in Philly. And I don't know what it was, 16 years or something they'd gone without winning there. I remember they had radio shows would bring in voodoo doctors to break the curse of Philadelphia. Philadelphia was always good. They were always mean. They were always big. Their fans were nasty. It was a tough place to play that when you went there, I don't know if you were intimidated by it, but you certainly knew that you were in a hostile environment. So yeah, that was for me, was Philadelphia.
So that was one of my favorite rinks to play in, because they thought they were so tough. I wanted to be in there, and I just wanted to show them I was going to do whatever I wanted when I was in there. I think I remember I had quite a few fights in that building. But the one I didn't like, Minnesota. I loved it, like the city and all the setup, but playing there was just brutal. They played such a boring style of hockey. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Louis Arena when they were rolling. I mean, you're playing against 20 Hall of Famers. And I mean, sure, I'm a Hall of Famer in the BC Hockey Hall of Fame, but not like Shanahan or Eisenman. So that was not fun, guys. Steve?
Okay, Roshan Nelson says, speaking of soup, Campbell had a 33 save shutout last night. Did anyone see that performance? Yeah.
Didn't see it. Heard about it. Good for him. I think that's one of the reasons that Ken Holland didn't feel he needed to go get any goaltending help. He likes what he has up here, and he likes what Campbell's been doing in the minors.
I don't know how he gets up here before the playoffs, but I think that he's got to keep doing that and pushing, because he's, you know, it's going to be, I can't, we're a long ways away, but what happens with him this summer to me is going to be fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Reese wonders how Gagne would have reacted to being sent down. It's a tough phone call. Any insight into that?
So Ken Holland was asked about that. Was it yesterday? And he said, you know, my job is to be the most popular guy. It's hard. Like Sam, though, I think he's very aware. He's been around a long time. I think you would have known that perhaps this could come and happen. Doesn't mean you like it. Doesn't mean you're happy about it. But it sounds like he came back to Edmonton for a few days, kind of get himself organized, and was going to head down to Bakersfield or to join the team. But I do, and I said, I believe Sam will have a role to play at some point with this team, whether he gets called back up in the regular season or in the playoffs. He's just a gamer, and he brings energy to a team. Brownie's points about the injuries are well made, and I think they will have some point. But I don't count Sam Gagner out. I think he's a valuable member of this team.
And I think Strud's actually, I think he, because of his professionalism and being around a long time, would have handled it better than Holloway. I think it would have hurt Holloway more than it would have hurt Gagner, because I think Gagner would have understood. I think it would have affected Holloway more.
Fair point. Steve-O?
Okay, Austin Peterson said, Kane showed some good hustle at times tonight, which was nice. And Soupy Pigeon replied, Kane's been horrific for months. So which side do you guys fall on? Let's start with you, Brownie.
Yeah, go ahead, Brownie.
Kane, if the Oilers want to win a Stanley Cup or have a long playoff run, they need Kane at his best. Kane has the ability to change a hockey game in a shift, whether it's with a fight, a hit, a goal, and an intimidation. The last time these two, the Oilers played against the LA Kings, there were three times that he went in on the forecheck, and once was Doughty, where he threw the puck away because they had to move the puck quicker because they know they're going to get run over by a train. I think Kane has had an up and down year. I think there's been games where Kane was dominant, and there's been games where you didn't notice him. Tonight, I think there was moments tonight where he was good. He made a great play on a two on or a three on two, passing it back door over to Nugent Hopkins. He actually, in all honesty, I thought tonight he wasn't bad in a game where most of the Oilers did not have good games. But Kane, I don't think he's had as consistent a season as that he would want. But they need him at his best in the playoffs if they want to go on a run.
Yeah, I disagree. It's horrific. Like that's way overboard. The guy's that's like crazy. But you know, I think that the expectations are high for Kane. You know, that we know what he can do all the time. So I think it's unfair that the bar that is set for him is maybe higher than some others in the consistency area. So listen, I think Evander Kane he'll be ready to know what to do. We've seen him do it before. I think he'll continue to do it again, but horrific is way you're nuts if that's what you think.
I got a great little chirp from Chris Formisano when we were talking about rinks that you felt cursed in. He said, I thought Strutty was going to say Rexall Place.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
That's funny. That's pretty place. That's funny. Okay, let's do one last one. This one from Roshan Nelson, who says, hey, guys, can we all, because there's a lot of negativity on the stream. Obviously, the sky is falling when you lose one game. Can we all just take a moment and enjoy this moment? Oilers are 33-8-1 in their last 42 games, outscoring opponents 159 to 101. That is their most wins in a 42-game span in any Oilers season, according to Roshan.
Yeah, I saw that stat. And it's a good team. And they got better with these additions. Mm-hmm. And today was just an off day. And it's unfortunate. Like, if you're the new player, you feel bad. Like, I know I'd be like, oh, God, did I jinx this thing? Like, you just feel bad. But practice tomorrow. Sounds like they're practicing in the afternoon.
After the deadline, yep.
Then they'll get it going. Saturday, Sunday, and then is it Montreal? I think next Tuesday night, I think. So there's lots of things to look forward to here, but just go have a swig of your favorite drink, brush your teeth, obviously after, and then go to bed, wake up, cleanse palate. We'll start again Saturday, Brownie.
You're such a parent. You have to say that part.
Why are you brushing your, like, seriously, why would you tell somebody to go brush their teeth?
I've had some conversations recently about people not always brushing their teeth. Like I don't even, now's not the time. Now's not the time to get into it.
This sounds like another Strutty's world.
Oh my good God. You've got issues. But anyways.
Not me. I brush my teeth. The other people aren't brushing their teeth, man. Don't worry about me. These teeth are perfect.
All right.
The Oilers are good. The Oilers have a very good hockey club. Tonight was a hiccup. They'll be better on Saturday morning.
All right. Let's wrap this thing up with the gem of the day. Oh, where do we start? There's been so many gems. You know what I'm going to say, guys? I'm going to give it to an act rather than something that was said. I'm going to give it to Carrick for getting kicked out of that face-off, skating over, talking to Olivier, and then fighting him. A great fight by two tough guys. So he must have said something in there, but I'm going to give him to him for the act. Brownie, what do you think?
I agree. I 100%. I mean, in a game that was not very good for an Oilers fan, there was one gem of the night in that game, and that was the fight by Carrick.
I love it, guys. Well, we made it through. I think Shogger will be very pleased with what he's saw today and worked out. I'm not sure when our next pod is going to be. Maybe tomorrow, depending on what the Oilers do or don't do. Saturday or Sunday. But we'll let you know and I'll check all our socials for that. Steve, did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it, buddy. Great job, both of you.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise. Couple pats on the back. You know I love that. Okay, on behalf of Brownie, Shogger, myself, and obviously Steve and Zuby, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be chatting soon, everybody. Have a great night.